Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to Scummy Mummies. It's me, Helen Thorne, again.
Hello, and it's me, Ellie Gibson, again. I really think we should come up with something better. Need a joke. I haven't got one, I'm sorry. Anyway, it's Ellie Gibson. What do you want?
We're here, but we're not alone. We are with the wonderful John Williams. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yay.
This is lovely.
So John, you're a dad, you're a blogger, you're a comedian, marathon runner.
Walker. Yeah, we'll go on to that, but I'm not, there'll be no running.
I just want you to know at this point how hard I'm working not to do a joke about the Star Wars soundtrack. It's so difficult.
Really?
But I'm not working that hard.
I've heard it. You'll be surprised about that, Ellie, I know.
I know.
But I have heard
it. I imagine
it's quite nice, if you Google yourself, you get 8.1 million hits. So it's quite nice, really, having the name for that.
We have had one of our guest speakers, Nina, walk down the aisle to the Star Wars theme with full orchestra.
Yeah. So he doesn't care about that because he isn't actually John Williams.
Right. Oh, did I miss something in the email? Okay, so we won't talk about that music section then. You're composing. That's fine.
Next episode we've got George Lucas on, so you can ask him about it.
Excellent. And we've got a healthy snack eater for tonight and tonight only, or this episode and this episode only. We're going to have a sober guest.
Drinking fizzy water. You've got fizzy water, though. That sets the standard.
Well, I told you it was water. It's mostly gin, to be honest with you. We had the taps replumbed with gin a couple of years ago.
Lovely.
It's so much more convenient.
Yeah. Tanqueray do a very good deal these days.
Yeah, how's it going? Have you done a marathon before? Is this your first?
Look at me. I've never done anything.
Yeah. For the listener.
Audio. Yes.
Put it this way. I won't give away this house number, but I parked a few cars down and get into the door. I thought, it's a little walk. So that's kind of my training. I'm looking at diet now, and then I'll get on to moving.
Right.
In kind of the couple of weeks. I don't know why I said I'd do it.
it sounds very glamorous though, marathon running, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I've
stood there. It's a bit of a stainless thing.
I've done them.
Yeah.
Thought, that must be...
Yeah.
And it's for charity, isn't it? It's for a good cause.
Yeah, yeah.
So who are you doing
for? For the National Autistic Society.
Fabulous.
Yes, yeah.
So, because your blog is about your son who has autism.
Yeah.
What's it called?
That's right, yeah. It's called My Son's Not Rain Man.
Okay, so you're raising money for that, so that's all. Yeah. Do you regret that decision?
I still haven't announced that I'm running it yet. This is the first. This is an exclusive.
It's a world exclusive.
Because I keep thinking, I can't really.
You're going to weasel out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe my leg will be sore.
How easy is it to cut out the marathon bits?
It's supposed to be nobody listens to us.
Yeah, it's fine. Hi, Mum.
Well, actually, that's not true, is it, Helen?
No, it's not. No. We did some web stats. We looked on the internet.
I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know about computers and the like.
Hi, I've just been doing some web stats.
Great.
Don't walk all over my trying with the internet.
I've been twitting, as my dad actually called it earlier, with no trace of irony.
I was here, yeah.
Very nice.
I don't know, all these people twitting all over the place. Brilliant.
Everywhere.
So we've changed our podcast hosting service. God, this is so interesting, isn't it?
Please keep listening.
Boring myself. So, but that means we have proper stats now, and we can see how many people are listening to us in individual countries, which is very exciting.
I know, it's the map of scum.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
So I want to say hello. It's a bit like do you know, Helen, are you familiar with a programme from the 1990s, the golden age of British television, called Going for Gold?
No, tell me
Henry
about
Kelly.
It.
Henry Kelly, the one and only. Do you know who Henry Kelly is?
No, you're saying nothing to me.
Going for a laugh?
No.
That was before Going for Gold.
And have you heard of this show? Anyway. Going for Gold, right, was the best thing. Do you remember it, John?
The time is right.
It's time for you. For you to play your game. People are coming. Everyone's trying to do the best that they can, because they're going for gold. So it's amazing, right? So it's a quiz, right?
Yeah.
And it's hosted by this Irish guy. It was brilliant. So I was a student in the 90s. What else are I going to do? So it's hosted by this guy called Henry Kelly, who's very sort of affable, and it's like a quiz. But all the questions are in English, and all the contestants are from all over Europe. Don't do racist accents. How many times? Again, I'll probably leave that in the edit, because that was such a bad comedy accent that nobody could be insulted by that.
We had that rule, though. If it's white, it's all right.
That is true. So they always have like contestants from like, and they count like the UK as separate countries. So you have like someone from Scotland, someone from Wales, someone from Ireland, then someone from Poland, and like someone from Turkey, and they're expected to like answer like, you know, which in the shipping forecast, which, you know, they're just like, what's Radio 4?
And what did they win? What did you get out of this?
I can't even remember. The BBC's are pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
I think it might have been like
some Scotch finger biscuits,
like a Lonely Planet guide to London. I don't know. It was
a British
awful.
Flag.
Oh, but they had this wonderful bit in the opening credits. Do you remember the show where Henry Kelly would introduce all the people, and they would show their flag, and they would wave, and it was just my favourite thing ever. So we're going to say hello to some of our international listeners, and if one of the people, we'd like you to just do a little wave wherever you are. Just do us a wave. Yeah. Maybe send a picture of it. If you could send a picture or video, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, maybe fish fingers from your own country.
Yeah. So I'll start. Hello, Japan.
Hello, Norway.
Hello, India.
Senegal.
Yeah, we have 8 listeners in Senegal. I'm so excited.
Oh, and 3 listeners in Iraq.
I know.
Hello.
My goodness. And just as exciting, 2 listeners in the Isle of Man.
Oh, get
that's
it
like up. Half the population, isn't it?
Thank you, Isle of Man.
Yeah, never mind breaking America. We have broken the Isle of Man.
Broken.
And this, I'd like to say a very special hello to our one listener in Luxembourg.
Oh. Hey! We should send them some hummus.
I think they have that in Luxembourg.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, you're
quite
so well-travelled.
Yeah.
You know stuff.
So hello to all of our listeners, national and international.
Do get in touch. And maybe send in your own translation of what a scummy mummy is. Maybe there's a special word for scummy mummies in French or German.
Maman horrible. Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, John.
It's a pleasure.
So to kick off, just tell us about your family.
I live with my son. I call him, when I'm at the blog, I call him the boy. Just because, to save his blushes, really, because he doesn't want to.
No.
You know. So he's,
you're not like Peter Andre and just like getting your kids out.
No, exactly. Yeah, I like to protect him as much as I can. Yeah, so that's
my husband calls our son boy all the time to his face. It's like living in a Dickens novel. Boy, clean up your stickle bricks, boy. No more CBeebies for you, boy.
I'm sorry, father.
So how old is your son?
So he's 11. Coming up to, unless, when I did the Edinburgh Festival last year, this was really bad. So I had all the flyers printed. So I had 7,000 flyers printed.
Yeah, that's a confident.
And I put his age on him as 10. And then I forgot he had a birthday before I actually did the show. So I had to do the whole show in Edinburgh pretending he was 10 years old. And he wasn't. He was 11. So,
Well, training
11.
Standards. You've got to watch
yourself. Yeah, exactly.
So why did you start your blog?
Just because he's autistic and he has cerebral palsy as well. And I'll be honest, he can be a tough child to like at times for other people, in that his behaviour can be pretty challenging. He can just be a difficult boy to get along with sometimes. And I just wanted people to see the other side of him that no one ever got the chance to see and stuff. That actually, he's just a laugh and he's brilliant fun and we have a laugh together. And so I just wanted to write about him and try and share the good bits of our life and stuff and what he does. Because he does just make me laugh more than anyone else. So he's brilliant. Yeah, that was why, really.
And you mentioned a show there. So what was the show?
Yeah, so I wrote I was a stand-up comedian and I wrote a comedy show about our lives together called My Son's Not Rain Man. And the whole idea was I wrote the blog just to go along with the show and then the blog kind of took off on a life of its own sort of thing. And the show is still going, actually. I'm still really loving doing the show. But it's just, the blog's easier practically, just writing it and stuff. You're at home writing it, and it's much easier to do than to go out and drive up and down the country doing a show.
Yeah.
So I still do the show. Yeah, exactly.
Who wants to do that?
Tell you what, get into podcasting, mate. You don't don't have to switch the computer on, really. You don't have to type anything. Nightmare. Can't bear typing.
No, I can't spell.
Yeah. She's barely literate, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And you get international listeners.
And we get international listeners just from banging on, sitting on our couch. It's great. And drinking amazing. Wine.
It's probably because they can't understand what we're saying. It's tuning in by accident.
What?
Who? I don't know what these women are talking about, but they play Gary Josh on the recorder very well.
So you started the blog, and so what's the sort of response been like?
It's been a bit overwhelming. I know everyone says, it's been overwhelming.
It's been a journey. It's been amazing.
I've fainted three times this morning.
Exactly. It's been incredible. And so what's been really lovely is when I first wrote the show, I was terrified of other parents of children with autism or adults with autism ever seeing the show and things, because I thought, they're going to think that I'm taking a mickey in some way, or I'm doing something. And what's been really lovely is other parents just coming on board and just saying, this is great and we can really relate to this and stuff, and it's really nice hearing about it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to put it out there. So that's actually been probably the best bit about it, actually, is just, is creating this little community. People think that you do it quite selflessly, blogging, and you're like, I'm just a hero sitting at home putting words on a screen. But actually, you get so much back as well.
Yeah.
And I'm a miserable sob by nature. I really am. And I get people, I remember my best mate phoned me up one time, and he just said, the idea that you are a force for positivity in people's lives. He said, I just find it brilliant. And it kind of has. It has made me think, do you know what? My life's all right, really, because I was just a misery.
Yeah.
And actually, when you start writing about it, and I do now look for the goal. I find myself quite consciously, even in the crappy days as a parent, I start looking for the joy in scrubbing and then the joy.
We all know what you're talking about when you're talking about scrubbing. We've all done it. So have you found it quite therapeutic for yourself?
I have, yeah. But I didn't think that had happened at all. I have. It's been a real... And actually, I think it's really benefited him as well, in that I'm just a bit of a nicer person to be around as a result of doing it.
So what does he think of the blog?
It's funny. That's one of the reasons why I protect him and stuff. So he knows the blog exists. It's very hard to find out how much he understands, and I'm never quite sure. And that's why I want to protect him. So he knows the blog exists, and each time I do a post, I read it to him, and then so he shares it and stuff. And if there's anything he's uncomfortable with, it doesn't go in. Mm-hmm. If there's anything he doesn't want to share.
Yeah.
For instance, I normally share on the Facebook group, I normally share his cooking that he brings home from school, because it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then the other week he brought some at home, and suddenly he was like, no, don't put this one on. And for some reason, I don't know why, he didn't want to share it. So I was like, right, okay, then I won't. And so that's fair enough. It's his choice and things. So he gets it. I'm just really wary, because I'm not sure how much any 11-year-old gets the internet and putting stuff out there and stuff. So that's why I like to protect him
a little bit. Yeah.
That makes sense. If only Helen and I, were similarly responsible when it came to our own children. Perhaps they wouldn't be quite so messed up. But they're only little, though.
Bedtime was very calm when I got here, though. I was very impressed.
Oh, that's because my mum was doing it. Yeah. Oh, really? Grandma's in charge.
Much better when grandma's here.
Yeah, if you've been here 24 hours, they go, get back into bed. Shut up. I don't know where Mrs. Bunny is. She's probably left home because she's miserable. Oh, it's too harsh, gone too far.
No. So you said you're a stand-up comedian. How long have you been in the comedy?
I did it years ago.
Yeah.
And then gave up. And then it's one of those things you never quite give up. You're always, I'll have another go. And then I came back to comedy. And then I thought, right, I want to talk about my family. Because everyone does. It's, you know, all comics, do you know what I mean? But as soon as you mentioned the word, and I did a gig for, it was a corporate up in, it was in Jongleurs venue up in town. And I thought, right, this is the gig to bring up that he's autistic. This is the one. And I did it. And they just, it was awful. It was horrible. It was like a room. And it was all the material I used to do. I just thought, I will be honest and mention that this boy that we're talking about, you know, has autism. He has cerebral palsy. And suddenly the whole room, it just changed. It was like a mixture of just pity and kind of... And this bloke came up to me afterwards and went, is that all true? What you said, is that all true?
Mm.
And I said, yeah. And he was like, oh, you don't want that.
God.
There must be a way to be able to talk, because I was like, you know, he deserves a voice. And I thought there's got to be some way to... So,
do you think that was people feeling uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's it. I think it's because we've come for a night out. We don't want to hear about...
Yeah,
like, but no, but it's funny. It's, you know, if you can see past that, these are the same stories that people used to laugh at last week.
Yeah.
But suddenly, because I've mentioned now that the child involved is different or disabled, it takes away any of the humour.
Mm.
And it becomes this. And that's been the hard thing with the show, is trying to get people that it's all right to laugh. We're not, there's no target in.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's because of that.
It's, you're laughing about the situation, not about the individual, I guess.
It's that thing, and I sound a bit of a tosser saying this now, but people have got the idea now that comedy has to have a target and stuff, and the, you know, and there has to be poking fun at someone. And I've always said that the show is just about the joy in our lives kind of thing, rather than... And if there's a target, it's just other people's perceptions of...
Yeah.
Him in particular and stuff, and that's it. It's
a bit
now. It's funny because you live it every day. You kind of think everyone knows about it. Everyone knows about it. And then suddenly you're like, I did a. One of the weird things has been I've been going into schools to talk to teachers and stuff about it and things. Mm. And I did a staff meeting at a school the other week, and the questions you asked afterwards, you think, actually, you don't know anything, do you? Really don't. Yeah. And I always think, because in my world, all you hear is autism, autism, autism. And you get autism down. I'm like, oh, if I heard the word autism one more time today. But you forget that isn't anyone else's reality. Yeah, it's only mine and stuff. So,
Does it annoy you how it's represented or not represented, I suppose, in the media and stuff? Because your blog is called My Son's Not Rainbow.
Yeah.
And I think that is, for a lot of people, that is kind
of... Yeah, that's it.
It's a special thing,
That's it, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you do get people who are like, well, what does he... You know, I'm like, well... He's just him, and that's the only thing he's got, is him. Mm, but it's the very best thing of all. But there's no...
Yeah. So obviously humour is very important to you, John. And do you feel that you need to have a laugh every day, or the days... There are
rough days and stuff in it, and you know, it can be. I think that's the hard thing, is that for me, the boy's quite challenging in terms of his behaviour, and he has been for quite a few years now. He's getting better, love him as he ages and stuff, and life becomes easier. Either we adapt to it, I'm not sure which and stuff, but he just becomes easier as it goes on. But it is laughing. The best thing is people always comment. So the school, he's been to a few schools, I'll be honest. There's been some issues there with schooling and other parents. We'll talk about other parents in a bit. Yeah. But,
sure, there's some Nietzsche quote about other parents, isn't there?
But his sense of humour is the best bit. I love it when people say, oh, he's got a brilliant sense of humour.
Oh,
and it is great and stuff. Yeah. It's another thing where you're like, yes, people with autism can be funny.
Yeah.
And they have senses of humour and stuff. And we do have a lot of fun together in amongst the...
So let's talk about other parents. what would you like to say?
Just be nice to other people. That's honestly... It's
don't be a...
Exactly.
That is good life advice for everyone, I would say.
When he was in a mainstream school, and he didn't last long in a mainstream school before they excluded him. But when in reception, I remember I've had one parent tell me that children like mine should be locked up. I've had, and you know, you turn, and it's quite weird being a bloke at the school gates anyway.
Yeah.
And stuff. But when you're the bloke of the child who's ticking off every day in the class and things like that. Suddenly, it was just the loneliest place. And I quite liked the days when he was excluded.
Yeah.
Because it meant I didn't have to run the...
What do you say to that when someone says something like that to you? What do you say?
Well, I'd gone to see her because the head had said to me, oh, they've been in the going to the governor's. And I said, well, I'll go and speak to... I mean, it's very difficult because, to be fair, as someone's being... We was being bitten and stuff, you know, by and it's very awkward because I'm just like, I'm really sorry, I'm really, you know, I wish I could stop this. I just can't, you know, he can't help it. But I think that's what's hard, and it gets frustrating when I think when he got to the age of 7, you know, he'd never been invited to a party, never been, and it's just so it's always that thing. So I'm always saying to other parents and stuff, if. We've all, there's always a kid in a class, isn't there?
Yeah.
So let's face it.
It was me for quite my schooling.
But be nice to their parent because they've had a bit of a rough time. And often their parents don't mix. They don't talk and people think, oh, they're quite standoffish. It's quite interesting when he first went to special school and you get in the playground and all the parents stand on their own and no one talks to one another.
Because they're just used to being...
Because everyone thinks that that kid is... And suddenly you end up walking at you. So, sorry for my jazz. And the day I just wanted to get sorry tattooed across my forehead as I'm walking in. And that was when things changed. When suddenly I thought, do you know what? I'm really proud that I'm his dad.
Yeah,
so he stuffed a lot of you. And, and it was really nice then walking through the school and just thinking, yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm welling up again.
I know, I know.
Have some more wine. Drink through it.
Yeah, no, you're right. But it must has it been a big learning process for you? I mean, what are the things you kind of know now that you wish you'd known at the beginning?
I just know that it exists. Obviously, because I didn't even know any. I didn't know anything about it. Do you know what I mean? Nothing at all. And stuff. So it's just, it's really hard when I look back at the early years and I think, oh, what was going on? How much he didn't meet his needs? Because he didn't know what his needs were and he couldn't tell you. And I feel awful about that. And I think, what they must go through in the early years of just frustration and just that's what's really difficult. Whereas now I just kind of think I know him, but I don't know autism at all. You know, I don't, and that's one thing actually that does frustrate a bit is I do a show about him and I write a blog, but you know, he doesn't represent every person with autism. You know, there's people with autism who've got no speech at all. There's people with, you know, they're completely different lives to ours. So all I know is him, really. Yeah. I'm an expert on him. But nothing else.
Sell yourself, John. Really.
Minecraft. Quite good at Minecraft now. I'm learning Minecraft now.
So what's happening now with the show, John? Are you gonna perform it again?
Well, yeah, I still haven't. There's loads of places that I was meant to get round to and I haven't got round because I've got the slowest touring, because I can kind of only do every other weekend, so it's the slowest tour ever. So that's still going on. And then I got asked to write another a kind of follow-up show, and I'm trying to do that at the moment while the old show is still going to the places that it hasn't got to. And stuff. So it's just,
just give us a date, really. That's
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Just so you do you put your dates on your blog?
I do, yeah. They're on a page there called Dates.
And what's the address? Is it my son's not Rayman.com?
Yeah.
Great. And
yeah.
Are you on Twitter as well?
I am. It's autistic_kid. Great. Nice and catchy.
Yeah. No, that's it. An underscore always really makes
it
sing, I find. Doesn't it? Helen underscore Thorne.
It does. And do you refer people to other like support that's available, or have you got other blogs or websites that you would recommend to people out there?
Don't people think that I'm just really, I'm just a dad, that's all. And there are times when I'm really, really shit at it. I do genuinely get bored of it. And that sounds awful. But I do. People, you know, people send you answers. Oh, have you read this article? Have you read that? And it's like, no, because I'm too busy looking after him and trying to write stuff about our life. I just don't read a lot of about. Yeah, I'm really selling it. I'm just unread, basically. Yeah. I'm just an illiterate man throwing words out on a screen.
But it's very popular, so congratulations. Yeah. It seems to be working.
I did like a website someone put on Facebook the other day. I don't know if you've seen this. And it says, like, you know, new shocking new evidence for why vaccines cause autism.com or something. And you click on it and it's just a page that says, it f***ing doesn't.
That's brilliant. Excellent. That is brilliant. I love that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh. So one of our listeners has written in and they have said they would love to say hi. Obviously, he doesn't know me, but that's weird. But I'd like him to know that there's someone around the corner who logs onto his site every day in the hope of a new post. Although our situation isn't quite the same, there's so much there that works for me. It's funny, honest. He tackles some really tough issues, like whether it's okay to wish that your child were different. Normally, that's an absolute taboo. I've recommended it to so many people, including professionals in health and education, for providing insight.
That's really lovely.
That is nice than any feedback Helen and I have ever had. So congratulations.
But that's what I mean. You get things like that and you're like, oh, this is just, it's been the loveliest thing it has. Yeah. And it's really nice to know that. So
thank you, listener, for writing in. And
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that must be so precious, actually.
That is really lovely, and it is. And I tell you what's really nice is when people send messages saying how much, because we all want our kids to be liked. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been a difficult boy to like. So when people send messages saying, I love your son to bits, or your son sounds brilliant, and it's just like, do you know what? We haven't heard that a great deal and stuff in his life. And it's just so lovely to hear that people are seeing the good side of him. Because that's all I wanted people to do. And stuff. So that's been really lovely.
So moving swiftly along from all the warm and fuzzy, let's go into Cookery Corner.
Let's get dark and nasty.
We've called it Cookery Corner, or Cooking with John.
Sing that again. Okay. That was brilliant.
Cooking with John.
That is beautiful.
I like to share my gifts. Wow. I really do.
That is moving. Now that touches me emotionally, that song.
We'll all be naked by the end.
Oh, I can't wait.
And do you do a lot of cooking with?
We have done. We've done bits actually. Because he started doing cooking. This is the worst thing, because most of the cooking that we do at home, if you see it on the blog, it ends in, not disaster, I wouldn't say disaster, that wouldn't be fair.
Misery.
Rustic
charm.
And then he comes home and is making with his cookery from school on a Wednesday. And it's brilliant. Lemon meringue pie.
Get out of town.
Chicken chow mein, come home. And all that. And I'm like, it's me. I'm obviously the one who can't do this.
Dearie me.
He makes really... Christmas, he brought nothing home, because I quite like Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah.
Because he always comes home with the foil. Yeah. There's an element of surprise. You never know what's in the foil. I've already had to prepare dinner, because I don't know if it's going to be main course or dessert.
Yes.
So instead, it's just a bonus course. Yes. It's like, here comes the bonus course. And then it arrived. We had lemon meringue pie, chocolate cake. Came on time. And Christmas, actually, it was a fruit. He made a proper Christmas cake.
Oh,
but that
brilliant.
Took a couple of weeks, because one week they made the cake and then the next week it was iced.
Yes.
So we had the
marzipan.
Yeah, we had a famine one Wednesday where
I wasn't.
And if he hasn't done the right thing at school sometimes, he doesn't get to go into cooking. Because of the ovens and things like that.
Yeah.
So if he's not in the right frame of mind, he won't go to cooking. And they're the worst Wednesdays. There was a pie one time that came out and it was still warm out of the oven.
Oh, eat that, so. Mary Berry.
In fact, I'll tell you this, because he got out, because he comes on transport now, and he got out and he said the good thing was that he wet himself a little bit, but because the pie was warm, it had dried out his trousers. Oh. You see, so we didn't eat the pie that week. No. Yeah.
No, but just ornamental.
Our latest project was, I was looking at the internet and someone had posted this recipe for frozen banana penguins, where you get like bananas and you dip them in melted chocolate and then you put beautiful little special eyes on them and you give them little orange smarty beaks and things.
Very nice.
And Charlie saw this picture and went on about these sodding frozen banana penguins for 3 days. I want frozen banana penguins. I want to make frozen banana penguins. And eventually I
love these voices. They do. It's brilliant.
It's what they actually
do now. They're just a bunch of puppets. Yeah. That's my Punching Judy show.
Imagine them together. I like dinosaurs. I like dinosaurs. Yeah. Start for hours.
They do. They just go, dig a truck. Truck.
But yeah, so we went and bought all the stuff and inevitably ended up with me like just trying to dip these bananas in chocolate so they look like the beautiful thing in the picture in it, and Charlie just eating the chocolate and smearing and pouring in the toaster and just awful. And then like I made them and I laid them all out and then I put them in the freezer and I realised my freezer just looked like a morgue for chocolate banana penguins. Like with their little feet and their beaks sticking up. It was like something out of Arctic CSI. CSI North Pole. It was just...
Right.
A penguin from
not
the North
so
Pole
happy
or South
feet.
Pole. Yeah.
So do you have any culinary favourites, John, or things that you like to cook yourself?
No, look at them. Look, I'm a big bloke. It's fair to say I'm a big bloke. So I'm juicing at the moment. So I will eat because I've got... Yeah, so I will eat pretty much anything, to be honest with you. There's no... There's not much I don't like. I'm trying to think of things that I don't like while I'm talking.
No.
I'll pause and then think. Nothing.
Do you have, you know, that's the classic question, isn't it? You know, what would your last meal be?
Oh.
Would you know?
I don't know. No.
I'm just improvising.
Probably my mum's fish pie.
Oh, stop. Oh. Lovely.
What's her secret? Does she have a secret ingredient?
She's put eggs in it, and some people don't do the eggs.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And does she do a nice cheesy crust?
No, she didn't. We all didn't have cheese. No, that would be
cheese.
No, cheese. Cheese.
Foreign muck. No, thank you.
Yeah. So that's some dirt. What's yours, then?
I like a cheese slice spaghetti carbonara.
Oh, is that is that what you'd have for your last meal?
Yeah, there's something about it. I lived off it, listeners, when I was at university. So I would boil some 18p spaghetti, which I got from Tesco, get a couple of cheese slices. And what you do, the technique, is that you put two cheese slices at the bottom of the bowl, pour the hot spaghetti on top, mix, do a quick whisk. Carbonara.
Oh, that's brilliant. So it hasn't actually got any meat.
Seriously.
That's amazing.
I am going to serve that
Yeah. Do you know what's weird? I swear to God, this is true. So when I was at university, I used to have a similar dish where I used to get cook super noodles, like probably a chicken or a beef.
Yeah.
Cook the super noodles and then put them in the bowl. And then I would put a cheese slice on top and then you fold the noodles over the top of the cheese slice. And so it melts the cheese. Oh my God, another thing we have in common.
Cheap food.
Yes, cheese slices and pasta. Go on, John, you pretend that you have one as well. So like, you, can again.
You could put bits of ham in it, though, couldn't you? And then it's proper.
It is. Just line the bowl with cheese slices.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I know. And it just makes a nice creamy carbonara.
I'm learning,
listeners. You're learning, really.
I love
it. It's got everything. Fat and carbohydrates.
That's it. Well, speaking of which, my personal dirty food favourite, which I also used to eat at university and I still eat now and again, is a Frey Bentos steak and ale pie.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, have you not had that?
No.
Pie in a tin? Oh, you've given us a pie in a tin?
I'm shaking in disbelief. What?
Not it.
Yeah.
I think I need to try one, Ellie. Maybe we should have a scummy bake-off.
Clearly, you're a fan, John.
I like Frey Bentos in it. Because it's the puff pastry, you see. That's
in a tin.
In a tin.
Sorry, I went all northern. In a tin.
It's like about the size of like a side plate, and it's like, and it's just like this, and you take the lid off, and you, there's this under, there's this horrible flaccid looking sort of beige
Celibate. Oh, all right. And then you put it in the oven.
You put it in the oven, and it puffs. It's amazing. It puffs up like proper puff pastry did. And then underneath, you get this delicious layer of scalding hot. Really, only be described as cat food.
Oh, yum! Let's nip to the services now.
Oh. And I find it's best served with tinned potatoes and tinned peas.
Oh, lovely! Now you're talking.
Just so you have the full tin effect.
Yeah, just, isn't it? Just nothing. But of course, because it's tinned, it keeps for like years and years.
Oh, wow.
So I do. There is a little bit of me that always has one in the cupboard in case there is a nuclear holocaust.
because the tin
will survive.
Can you imagine everyone else is living on chickpeas and beans and you're like, we're having steak pies.
Like kings.
That's right.
That's a puff pastry lid that you'll see right there.
Yeah. We're all dying of cancer, but we're eating steak tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, so come on, John, have you got a scummy food, a particular...
I'm trying to think what isn't scummy. Really, pretty much all. I don't know. I've got an awful habit, actually, of... eating the remains of the pat lunch when it comes home from school.
Oh,
that is my...
Little niblets.
That's like my guilty little...
Yeah.
It is.
Why I load it up.
And part of me is really pleased that, you know, sometimes it's just the banana or the apple. And I'm like, oh, why don't you eat your fruit? Mm. So, but sometimes... he's left the sandwich.
There's something about a sandwich that's
been warm in a lunchbox all day.
So I like a little curled corner on a sandwich. Very nice.
That's it, exactly.
Oh, and I thought of another one.
Yeah.
I really love eating cold takeaway curry out of the tin.
Like, you can't put it on a plate. That's very nice.
That's one of the times...
out of the fridge with a fork.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Just like that, yeah.
One of the times my husband said he first knew he really loved me was when he went in the bathroom where I'd had a bath for about an hour and there was just a tin, an empty takeaway tin of curry with a fork still in it, just sitting on the side of the bath next to, like, the lovely sanctuary bath oil and, like...
That's hilarious.
That's it. So there we are. We're scumbags, but we knew that. John is as well. So.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all learning. We're all loving. It is quite a nice segue into our next section, though, Ellie, isn't it? Speaking of scumminess, because we're talking about Lewisham. Ellie and I and John, we all live in the same borough of Lewisham. And recently, Channel 4... named it as the what did they say,
the least peaceful place in England.
It was the highest rate of crime or something like that. Anyway, it's very stabby and very sad, apparently. But we say no, Channel 4. We love Lewisham and it's great, and there's bits of it that are very peaceful.
I like the bits that aren't peaceful. I like going down Catford McDonald's of 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and just enjoying the colour. It's like those etchings. It's like gin alley.
Do you know one thing I loved? I loved in Catford one night. I've been out for a few drinks in Catford, actually.
Have you?
And coming out one time and there was a bloke and he just set up next to the bus stop. He just had half an oil drum and he'd set charcoal in it.
Yeah.
And he was just cooking chicken. The side of the road. And I was like, no other borough would have that. Where else would have that?
And that's just like a post-apocalyptic nightmare.
It was brilliant. Just stand there cooking chicken.
Yeah.
No one. And then Ireland, you know.
Harrison Ford came in a hover car.
Yeah.
But you do that in Westminster, you'll have food and hygiene people on TV. You know what I mean? You'll have all these inspectors. You can't do that. Lewisham, crack on, mate. It's fine. You're not doing any harm.
It's fine. Cheers.
What I love, Helen, is that, of course, you moved from the other side of the world to live in Lewisham. That's how much... I was born here. You know, I had no choice. But you've actually travelled literally thousands of miles to live in the least peaceful place in Britain.
Well, I come from Melbourne, which has been awarded the most livable city in the world. So I made the choice to go somewhere with this. There's sun, there's beaches, to Lewisham, where, you know, you can buy anything, really, off anyone in the streets.
Often for a pound.
Yes. I love it. I can't leave it now. It's so fantastic.
I tell you what, now I've been juicing, because for the first time, I've been a Lewisham Market.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what? Honestly.
Pound a bowl, pound a bowl.
Who knew you could get 7 cucumbers for a pound?
Absolutely. I know.
Who knows what to do with 7 cucumbers? Yeah. That's not the point. This is broadcasting gold right now.
I went to Lewisham and I said, I just need an iceberg lettuce. I was doing the tacos. Anyway, I needed an iceberg lettuce. And I didn't get one, but four. They just gave me like a full shopping bag of iceberg lettuces. And I said, I just want the one. You can have the pound. She's like, that's how they come, love. That's how they come. So I came home.
It's the law. Gotta serve them in fours.
I'll give them back to you. Yeah. So that, nah.
I love it. And I love the proliferation of pound shops in the borough of Lewisham. They're like in Catford alone, there's like Pound World, there's Pound Land, there's Pound for Pound.
Pound Saver.
Pound O'Clock. Mr. Pound. Dr. Pound. Where's my pound?
And then there's a Holland and Barrett, though.
Yeah.
I went in there when I first started. Yeah. I'm boring them as well, but I went in there once, and as soon as you walk in, the woman behind the till's like, can I help you? Someone's walked in. Wait till I tell head office. We had a customer on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I quite like, do you know what I like about Lewisham is the fact that when you go uptown, you kind of have to dress up. You can go out in Lewisham and think, it doesn't matter how low I feel about myself or how bad I feel today, I'm top dog.
Yeah.
There's something about that in Lewisham. Yeah. There's something nice about no matter how much you might arsehole yourself when you've had a drink, you will never be the worst person.
I'm not sure. I have been pretty scummy in Lewisham before.
I have got photos of Helen after one of our first shows eating fried chicken in the street outside Forest Hill Station, just like, and she's gnawing on it like Henry VIII with like her chicken leg, just throwing the bones over her shoulder. That's how we roll in Lewisham.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to eat fried chicken. Do you eat fried chicken, John?
I never did. We never had it. I'm from up north. For some reason, we never really had.
Yeah.
I don't think KFC had made it up north when I was a child. We were just very sheltered. We got our eggs in our fish pie. We were happy. I've never had it before. And then suddenly I was like, oh, yeah, this is
fried
and the boy
chicken.
Likes it. He can't cope with the bones, so it has to be fillet.
Oh, very
but
nice.
I always feel very... I feel like I'm going to go into them and order fillet, please. And you always feel like,
no wing.
Yeah.
Do you have any foie gras? Yeah. Is it free range?
Never.
But I love the different names, because there's
Morley's.
Morley's?
Yeah.
Well, there's a Marley's now, where even Morley's has now become worth.
See, I'm a favourite chicken and rib. My husband's a Morley's, you know. Really? It's like Jack Spratt and his wife. We're probably going to get a divorce, to be quite honest with you.
But you get your chips in a box. I like that.
Yeah.
You see.
That's a nice touch.
Against tradition, but I like chips in a box.
Pine tin chips in a box. That's living all right.
Life should be.
Oh, well, that was cool. Well,
excellent.
I think, yeah.
We've come to an end. Well, we can't end without the Scummy Mummy Confessions. I'll go first, shall I? I thought about juicing myself.
I'm thinking about juicing myself.
I said that so sincere to John. I've been juicing at home. It just doesn't sound right from a woman. It really doesn't. I can't say it. I made some juice. No, still, I've got nothing there. Anyway, I got the juicer out and I made Hugo, my child, who does not eat vegetables. I made an apple, orange, carrot, broccoli and kiwi fruit juice. And he drank the thing and he had some. But because it took so long to prepare, I gave him a chocolate frog and put him in front of the couch on the TV while I made the juice. But he did get some vitamins in the process. So
me and Steve Hill, regular podcast guest, took George and Charlie to Gambardo's in Chelsea.
Okay. I love that there's a Gambardo's in Beckenham, just up the road.
Chelsea one. But what I liked is that at the Beckenham one, see, this is going back to South East London. At the Beckenham one, the Chelsea one, they just, you know, they don't serve alcohol, as you would expect for a child's
soft play centre.
At the Beckenham Gambardo's, not only do they sell beer, but there are signs all over the place saying, please do not leave alcohol unattended. Also, brilliant. No smoking. And I'm just love the idea of like, yeah, just
so yeah. So that's kind of my my scummy
scummy in Chelsea,
scummy in Chelsea. Yeah, and that's I guess that's my scummy confession is that Steve and I were quite disappointed to learn they did not serve beer in Chelsea Gambardo's, and we went to the pub afterwards. So there
just
we
a
are.
Top up,
just very a nice. Top up. Yeah, yeah. We weren't juicing that day. We were not juicing. Oh. So, John, do you have a Scabby Daddy confession?
Oh, I like Scabby Daddy. You like Scabby I was Daddy, trying to yeah. think of it. Yeah, 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 I like Scabby Daddy. I'll do me. Yeah, thanks very much. it's only that when the boy goes to his mum every other week, I give up all parenting events. So, we've got two guinea pigs called Sky and Fluffy. Oh, but they yeah. also don't get parented. He isn't there. So, yeah. it's awful and stuff. Because so, they live in the lounge. And, so, yeah. and it means that the place gets quite. But I'm just like, no, I'm not a parent this weekend. Yeah, I've got no okay. responsibility whatsoever. I gave you a cucumber on Friday. You should have stored some of it.
Four cucumbers.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing your Scabby Daddy confession, John. And thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
It's a pleasure. I've had a lovely time. It's been brilliant. Oh, good. It's been brilliant. It's such good fun. It's ace.
And just again, it's mysonsnotrayman.com if people want to read
yes,
your blog.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's at autistic_kid on Twitter. Is that
yeah.
right?
I never tweet. I'm rubbish at Twitter. I can't really. Yeah, selling myself again. There you yeah. go. Pretty much a sales pitch. This whole thing. Yeah,
we've
sold the borough.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And as always, you can contact us on the Facebook.com/Scummy Mummies Podcast. We're at Scummy Mummies on Twitter. Or you can email scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
Do come along to the live show. We're doing a live show in Nunhead, 27th of March, 2nd of April. Hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, we'll be sold out. But you never
hopefully.
Know.
Hopefully. So optimistic. That's why I love that. Sunny disposition.
That's it. And yeah. Keep liking us. Keep sending us your Scummy Mummy confessions. We love you, listeners. You.
Good night, Senegal.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Luxembourg.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.